Today's episode is supported by Morgan Stanley, who helped First Solar raise capital to expand into new markets. Now regions from Chile to rural India have access to clean, renewable energy. Capital creates light in new places. More at morganstanley.com/firstsolar. Morgan Stanley & Co. LLC member SIPC.
To pay or not to pay for play. Why Super Mario's run might be a little short.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, this is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. And Nintendo's highly anticipated mobile game, Super Mario Run, which of course launched December 15th, landed pretty hot but faces its challenges still. Heard on the Streets, Dan Gallagher joins us with the latest. So Dan, one of the biggest questions we had at the launch of this game was pretty basic and straightforward. Will gamers be willing to pay for something that's usually free? How did this play out? We're close to a month after its launch. Were we right to be skeptical?
Well, it's played out the way it plays out actually for other mobile games, in that you put out a game, a lot of people are willing to download it and, you know, play it for free or try it, but it's essentially a small single-digit percentage are willing to pay for it.
And that's important to, we should note that it's not really just Nintendo's burden alone. Nintendo really seems to have the same challenge that all these game makers have in getting mobile payers to fork over, you know, extra money.
That's what we see with games that are like, you know, like Candy Crush and Clash of Clans, where the game is supposed to be free to play and it's designed to make money through selling things in the game. Now with Mario, though, it was designed to be essentially a free to try. You could try a couple levels, and then if you wanted to play the whole game, you forked over $10. But from what we've seen, at least from some data I found in my column, is that we're still talking about a small single-digit percentage that have been willing to actually buy the full thing.
Right. And even though Nintendo has these popular characters that should be a big draw, has that proven to pick up any of the slack that they'd see otherwise? And is that part of their future gameplay? Can popular buzz offset a tricky business, you know, mobile model?
Well, I think we've seen already that they, despite the fact that they're very late in mobile, like coming in, essentially Mario is almost 10 years after
right, 10
the first
years,
iPhone
right.
launched. So they're very late to this, and despite being very late, I think Mario plus the success of Pokemon Go earlier that was made by a partner under a license with Nintendo, I think those show that their characters, their game properties still have a lot of appeal.
Okay, so that eliminates that issue for Nintendo in this case. What does remain its biggest hurdle as of right now?
The problem is in mobile games, it's finding the right way to make money off it, and one challenge in mobile right now is that the top grossing games are kind of dominated by, you know, the same four or five games that have actually been there for quite a while, Clash of Clans and Candy Crush being among them. And it's been proving hard for others to kind of break in and at least knock those off for a significant amount of time.
We're talking Super Mario Run with the journalist Dan Gallagher. You're listening to the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing.
Today's episode is supported by Morgan Stanley, who helped First Solar raise capital to expand into new markets. Now regions from the Atacama Desert in Chile to rural India have access to clean, renewable energy. First Solar is enabling a world powered by reliable and affordable solar electricity. Global business. It's something to see. Capital creates light in new places. More at morganstanley.com/firstsolar. Morgan Stanley & Co. LLC, member SIPC.
Thanks for listening, everyone. So, Dan, you mentioned in your piece that the key is making sure that the right few keep coming back for more. Has Nintendo figured out how to do this, and can they?
Well, I don't think they tried to figure that out with Mario, because I think with that game, they wanted this. They're kind of going with an old game model, which is like, we're going to make a game and sell it and let people try it for a little bit, but it's essentially going to be a game you have to buy in order to play. So I don't know what they're envisioning for other mobile games that they're working on, if they're going to try the freemium model the way Pokemon Go actually has worked pretty well. that was a game that was what we call freemium, you know, free to play, and then you buy stuff within the game.
So how do you see them moving forward? What are they thinking of in terms of their future rollout of games as it pertains to this interesting mobile business model?
It might be that they're trying a few different options to see what works best. But they, you know, they need to, you know, if you're going to have games anymore, no longer just things that you launch and then go on to the next thing. Successful games, even on consoles, are essentially services that people play over and over and buy expansion or buy things in there. So I think if Nintendo's going to stick in this category, they'll probably have to evolve to that.
Very good. We'll leave it at that. Dan Gallagher, thanks as always for the time.
No problem.
Once again, we've been speaking to the Journal's Dan Gallagher, covers all things tech for Heard on the Street. For more on this story, you can check out WSJ.com. That wraps up the tech news briefing for now. For the Wall Street Journal, I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.
For more podcasts, check us out at WSJ.com/podcasts. Become a subscriber on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and now look for us on the Google Play Music app on Android devices.